This is Lisa Alvarado. This is my mom, Nelly Alvarado.
Yeah.
Y dice en español.
Bienvenido a encontrar lo gracioso con Lisa Alvarado.
You nailed it.
Okay.
All right. All right. Una vez más.
Yay, yay.
That's my mom getting the chancla out.
Hey, welcome back to Find the Funny with me, Lisa Alvarado. I am so excited, you guys. This episode is straight from Alaska. I'm in a place called Wasilla. Sarah Palin's from Wasilla. We'll hear from her just a little bit later. But I have a really cool friend with me today, a comedian from Alaska called Jeff Barbu.
That is my name.
Is that how you say it?
That is how you say it.
Okay. This is my buddy. We've worked together before. Hilarious dude. I'm so happy to have him on. Dude, so tell me the difference between doing comedy here in Alaska and like anywhere else.
I think the crowds are a little rougher. They're a little rougher around, right? Everybody moves to Alaska to escape something, right? So they're all here. And it's hard. They're hard to offend. You can't offend Alaskans.
That's really? Crazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're used to Sarah Palin. Like I said, you know what I mean? We're rough around the edges.
Yeah, but I did offend some people last time I did Sarah Palin. Did you hear about that phone call?
No.
Yeah, I got a call from the club here in Wasilla, because this is her hometown, and they complained. They're like, she was doing a Sarah Palin. And I'm like, yeah, that's hilarious. But she was a huge fan of Palin's. And so she called to warn everybody not to come to my show, which was just fantastic press to come to my show. Now I had like 200 more people there because it's like, oh, she's offensive? And she makes fun of Sarah Palin. We're there.
Yeah, she had a huge fan base, you know, for a very long time in Alaska. And, you know, I think she's, as she pulled away from Alaskans is what happened. And then she moved to Texas.
Right.
And now she's a Texan. So, you know, she still claims to be an Alaskan, but come on, she's a Texan.
Yeah. I mean, she moved back.
She moved.
Yeah. So she could, you know, lose again.
Right.
What?
She did lose.
She did. I can't believe she lost. She lost more than, she lost a husband, an election.
Yeah. Struggling a bit in the interviews these days.
Yeah. She just lost to Mary
Petola.
Petola.
Yes.
She's Latina. No, but she's a native.
Alaska native.
Alaska.
She last to Alaska native.
Which is unbelievable. That is actually pretty cool that there's a native in office, right? And a woman.
Could be. Could be cool. We don't know yet. We'll see.
Right.
We'll
she just got into office. So,
right. Jury's still out.
Yeah.
We'll let you know as Alaskans pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. You guys are like, these guys are, they're
pretty tough.
You guys are tough, Chris.
Lean a little to the right. Alaskans, a little to the right. This is our first Democrat in office for a really long time, as in ever.
Oh, no pressure. We got to work together the last time we were in town, which was like in May? Was that
something like that, yeah.
And that was the first time I sure got to climb a glacier, which was unbelievable. Here's some pictures and shots of that. There's me freezing my ass off. I get to go on an airplane, you guys. I got to go on a prop plane, which scared the hell out of me.
If anything goes wrong, just clap down. Who
But this guy was like, what? We're going right into the sky. We're going over the glaciers going. I'm like, this, don't La Bamba me. Do not La Bamba me, please.
Hey, Richie, relax, man. Everything's cool. Besides, the sky belongs to the stars, right?
Did you get to land on the glacier?
We didn't. And I was like, please don't.
I've been on many helicopter tours, and we take some of the traveling, both musicians and comedians that come to Alaska. And we go there. And the big thing is always to drink the glacier water.
Oh, and, yes.
Right? They want to drink the glacier.
I did that.
All that out, and that's coming straight out. So literally, you're talking about a minute or two before it melts.
You know what I mean? And then the comedians are always like, it makes me have superhuman strength. And then they're like walking up from the glacier like, superhuman, all right. Yeah. Nobody's got any breath left from the cold in the air. But it's a great time. It's beautiful.
That's polar bear piss. That's really what that is. Extra yellow, guys.
Neanderthal poop is in that water.
Exactly. You really
think about it.
Ugh. Oh, okay, so what? So you're saying that the differences are for performing here, you got to have really tough skin and be great in terms of like be able to handle hecklers. And if they love you, they love you is what I found out here. But if they do not like you.
And I've had some rough crowds, right? And I think I'm really funny, but not apparently. Sometimes not my day.
They will let you know.
They let us know, yeah.
And they carry guns. Yes, you better be locked.
Every Alaskan has guns, yes. There's no concealed carry permit needed up here. Everybody carries. Here's the thing. Funny is funny. But the Alaskan crowds lean a little to the right. So comedians have to know that coming in. And as comedians, we can only push it so far before you hear the, you know, and you know how it is. You hear the oohs and the ahs and the ooh, yeah. And then you're like, I better pull that one back a little bit.
Yeah, I don't really talk politics in my act anymore anyways. I remember I did a Trump joke once that wasn't even about him. And I did it in Pahrump, of all places, Vegas,
right.
Which don't ever go there. I mean, just, it's full of brothels and old casinos.
Yes.
It smells like piss.
Yes.
Because everybody's wearing a diaper.
It's the only reason I go.
Right.
I'm acceptant.
Yeah, I know. Like, it just, I walked probably a third of the audience.
Yes. Oh.
Because I did a lead-in joke. I used to have a joke in my act before Trump even got elected. I had this joke in my act where I said, you remember how he called Latinos lazy and rapists?
Right.
Well, lazy and rapist. As soon as I said that, the audience didn't even know where I was going. And I had this old man, war veteran, was like, he's going to save America. You don't know what you're talking about. This man's amazing. And I go, he doesn't give a shit about you, dude. He could care less about you. And here's the thing. I go, wait, listen to the joke, because I'm not even there to the funny part. And we're arguing back and forth. But here's the joke. Basically, I said, he called Latino immigrants, which my parents are Latino immigrants, lazy and rapists. I'm like, pick one. We're either lazy or we're rapists. Have you ever seen a lazy rapist?
No. They're very committed. Very committed.
This is a lazy rapist. Hey, no? All right, next week. Next week, I'm not getting up.
Just no planning.
Hey, all right. Next time, that's a lazy rip. That's a great joke, but I had to stop doing it because people went ballistic just because I mentioned his name. And what people need to understand is that it's a comedy club, man.
Yeah.
People come here to be silly, not to vote, not to get in fights. Like, this should be the one safe place that we have, that everybody has to come to and just be silly. Nothing's really real in that room. We take off the judgment, leave it outside the door.
Do you know what's happened? In the 30 years I've been doing this, I'm 52. In the 30 years I've been doing this, you know, in front of large crowds, everybody's hunting. They're all hunters now, but they're hunting for something to be offended by.
Mm.
Yes. And they're waiting for it.
Right?
Yep.
I made a joke a few months ago, and it was about Vegas, and I said I went down to Vegas and I went to one of these gender reveal parties, right? The only problem was there's only two of us in the room.
Right. That's good.
Right. Not so much of a party from here.
Right.
I canceled that party immediately. But somebody immediately stood up, and I mean, she was mad. He was mad.
They were mad.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But stood up like this. And I thought they were going to kick my ass.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah, or fondle it. Right. You know, whichever is more appetizing.
Nobody wants to fondle my ass anymore.
You might not.
I just leave my drink on the counter. I hope nobody roofies this. I'm going to go to the bathroom for an hour.
I bring my own because they're stronger. It's just a job, right? I don't want to be stumbling. Just get me quick. All right,
I don't want to remember anything in Vegas.
No. What do you think? Has your comedy had to change or make a shift due to all the PC stuff? Or do you just drive right up the middle and you just do it anyway?
No, I'm pretty offensive.
Okay.
I think you called me dark the other day, right? I go right down the middle. I don't change what I do. I'm not going to change who I am or what I do for anybody. Right. However, I do play the crowd. I do read the crowd probably is
That's
a better
good.
Rule, right? There's certain things Cat Williams can say that Jeff Arville cannot say.
Really?
He can. I don't know, for instance, what those were, but he can say things I can't.
Yeah.
And I think you just need to know your crowd, right?
Right. Yeah. Do you have a tester joke? A lot of us have a tester joke. As comedians, we'll go, okay, if they'll laugh at this, they're probably going to laugh at that. And I do some racial stuff. And the funny thing is, when I do race jokes, but about being Latina, if it's a really white crowd, you get a ooh. If it's a Latino or a black crowd, they freaking love it.
Right.
And because they know that we're poking fun, white people go, we're not supposed to laugh at that stuff because we're not going to be politically correct. Well, dickheads, we wrote it because of you. Yeah, you should laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm an old white guy, so I just make a lot of old white guy dick jokes. That's what I do. I kind of stay away from the race thing because I'm an old white guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, dick jokes always hit hard.
Right. But there's got to be a place where when you're doing the dick jokes, you don't know how far you can go with this audience.
My job, I think, as I call it a career opener, right, is to kind of measure the crowd for whoever the headliner is, right? That's what I really enjoy doing.
So as you know, the show is called Find the Funny.
Right.
Comedians are fantastic at going through some sort of situation. Like one of the things that I've been doing now on stage is talking about a car accident that I got in. Got in this car accident on my way to a club to do a show. And as soon as I got on stage, I told the story. That's what we do. That's how we process pain. That's how comedians handle the crazy stuff that happens in life. So is there a situation where it helped heal you much faster by looking at something painful or hard that happened in life and then you turn it around?
Yeah, I think for me, my sister went through a terrible bout with cancer.
Oh.
Right. And so I think as comedians, we're already predispositioned to make people happy and laugh all the time. And we're really uncomfortable with silence or uncomfortable in situations where we're not making people laugh, right? So I think in the situation for me with my sister, who I love to death, and she's a cancer survivor, I even overcorrected and went a little too far sometimes to the fact that she's like, it hurts to laugh, don't make me laugh, right?
It's fantastic.
But it's fantastic, right?
Yeah.
And I think in the day and age we live in right now, I think comedians are so important because, like I said, everybody's finding a reason to be pissed off at somebody, whether it's politics, whether it's UFOs in the sky, whatever the heck it is these days, it's never been more important to laugh. And I find myself, and I think you probably do too, most comedians do, that it doesn't matter if we're in Walmart, it doesn't matter if we're in a line at the bank, we're going to go out of our way to make people laugh because that's how, maybe that's, you know, as you think about it, how we feel good about ourselves.
Right.
To make, like, the measure of success is when I make somebody else laugh, I feel good about me and like I'm done something good for the day. I know that's really all about me and it sounds like.
Right. I'm very narcissistic. That's just
it is a little. I think comedians probably are a little.
Of course it is, but it's also most of us are very socially awkward. Yeah. So when we can combine, like, we meet a stranger and we just connect with them and we make them smile. It's like a thousand handshakes. It's when you can make a complete stranger laugh or smile, take them out of their element, surprise them with your wit. All of a sudden, you've bonded with somebody on a much deeper level of, so what's new in your life? Or what's going on with the family? Which is surface stuff. No one really is honest with those questions anyway. So when you make them laugh or you push a boundary, all of a sudden the gloves are off. It's like you've bonded with a complete stranger, which is what I love. There's no other thing, art form that I know of, that's an immediate response. You know immediately if they love you or hate you.
It's gratification, comedy. Right?
Yes, it's an answer. It's an you can't fake a laugh.
You know, I forget who said it's not about what we do while we're on Earth, but to be really deep, it's about what we leave behind.
Right.
And I think that every show, if you're good at whatever your craft is, whether you're a musician or whether you're any kind of entertainer, I think it's if people go home at the end of the day and say, "Man, let me tell you about what I just watched. I had a great time." And for 20 minutes for me, for 2 hours for you, if you do a 2-hour, you made somebody's life not shitty. Mm. They forgot about their shitty life for that moment,
right?
And they can hang on to being funny. And that's what, for me, that's what musicians are. When I go to a big rock concert, right? Mm. For 2 hours, I can forget about whatever the hell's going on in my world, and I can just concentrate on a great stage show. And I think we do that as well, just on a different stage.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm a lover of comedians, so I feel like on even a deeper level, because music, you can get up and down and like disconnect for a few minutes, and it's still there. You're still kind of hearing it. But with comedy, you have to listen. Mm. You have to actually, if you don't hear the whole setup, you're not going to get the punchline. Mm. So they're more intent on like hearing your every word, and then your expressions matter, how you do an act out on stage. Not that bands don't do that, but they can disconnect for 30 seconds and still not miss the song, if that makes sense. But with us, if someone's talking at a table, people get pissed around them because they're like, hey, I'm listening. Mm. I can't hear what they're just about to say because of you, which would never happen at a concert. Everybody's talking, drinking, smoking. Mm. But with us,
the good concert.
The ones we're going to hate after.
Right.
Well,
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I love comedians when I work with, I worked with a fella a couple months ago that just went up on stage and he just did crowd work. That's all he did for an hour and a half. That's amazing to me, to just be able to adapt and move with the liquid, right, with the crowd. And it was hilarious. I could never do that. I have to have some scripted stuff and act,
Well, I'm in the middle with that. I'm such a comedy fan that, and I'm a purist, so I feel like you have to write the jokes and do the work. And then if you can improvise and mesh the two, you're the best of both worlds. Because there's some people that are just great at the writing part, kind of suck at improv. Yeah. And then there's great improvisers, the writing is nah. Mm-hmm. So my goal is always to be best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. And the shows that I do the best at is when I am talking to them and we're going back and forth, and then I'm bringing in some material. And then we're talking, we're joking about this, and I'm bringing in material. Those are my favorite shows.
And good comedians are able to lead. You know, if you're going to have your things, you can lead an audience to where you want to get them. Right. And almost like if you're an audience out there, you want to, when a comedian talks to you and asks a question, you want to close your eyes for just a second before you speak and think of about 1,000 bear traps, because you're going to step in one. You just don't want to step in all of them repeatedly as you're trying to run onto the field. And we've all had that person like, I'm not answering.
Yeah, of course.
Very awkward, right?
Or the ones that sit in the front row and then they're shocked that you talked to them. Or you comment on their clothing, or they're talking during your show and they're like, what?
Yeah.
Why are you knowingly sitting in the front row and then heckling, not paying attention, or come in and wearing some big ass hat.
Sombrero.
Yeah.
Wow, that was racist.
I'm going to laugh. Whatever. Talk about my dad like that.
Sorry I went there.
I know. See, but I picked my people.
You did pick your people.
I did.
I have no people. All my people wear Trump hats.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's Alaska. We have nothing else. We have one store. So they only sell Trump hats.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, they used to sell Palin hats, but we talked about that already. So.
Yeah. Like, do you know that I buy Palin prop glasses?
Do you
can get them online. You literally type in Palin glasses and you can buy them. They're like $10 or something. That's all I need to become her.
I know the family very well.
Yeah.
There's a hockey background there with me. And so I've met Sarah many, many times. And I have to tell you, she is exactly like you portray her.
Did you know that I'm running again? Oh. I know, again. I like losing. Okay, that's this woman, she beat me out. Did you? Yeah, that married lady.
Yeah.
What's her last name? Pelosi, right? That's that lady. She's really good, right? And she calls herself Mary. You know, like from the Bible, like the Virgin Mary. I'm like, that is not true, because she definitely fucked me. You know what I'm saying?
So. Thumbs up, fantastic job. The crowd up here will love you again because you nailed it.
Oh my gosh. I didn't think I would be able to do her impersonation after the pandemic. Because I'm like, she's not really around. She's not relevant. But this bitch.
She's relevant.
She gets out. Like, you cannot keep a good woman down. Holy cow. Yeah,
she's relevant. And because of her family making headlines nonstop of all different kinds of shenanigans, right?
She's constantly. And the balls that it takes to run again.
Yeah, she's a tough lady. I wouldn't want to get into a street fight with her. Honest to God. No. She is a tough lady, and she called it like she sees it.
I'll scratch your VMIs out. If sure, I did. Scratch them out. I will scratch them. Our everyday life can be just so boring, mundane. And so we are constantly trying to find the funny. Yeah. You said you went to jury duty, right? Like last week?
Yeah, like I was in jury duty for 2 weeks, right?
Ooh.
And it was a sex offender case. What in the hell are you going to find funny about a sex offender case, right? Until you look at all the facts and you're like, this guy's just an old white guy. It's not a sex offender case, right?
Really?
Honest to God, right?
Is it dirty?
Yeah. He's just an old dirty white guy. He didn't do anything illegal, right? And so we get into the jury, and I am afraid I'm going to hang the jury, right? I'm like, because we're not allowed to talk about it for 2 weeks. The prosecutor and the judge say, do not talk about the case. And nobody wants to talk about it because it's like a sex offender case. We get in the jury room, and I'm like, all right, that's it. I've been waiting 2 weeks to say this. This guy is just an old, dirty white guy. He didn't do anything that anybody else in this room hasn't done. And it's not illegal, by the way, right?
Did he touch somebody?
No. The prosecutor said he attempted to, right?
Attempted
to touch somebody's breast in a bar, which I'm like.
So what's an attempted touch?
Oh my God. I don't know. So we're all sitting there.
I am attempted touched as soon as I walk up.
You've touched my breast 3 times in this interview. So I'm just saying, you're in Wasilla, I may be filing a sexual assault. So we got into this jury, and I said, listen, I just got to get this out. There's no way in hell I'm convicting this guy. And everybody in the room, as we went around, and it's a jury of peers, right? There was literally a girl who's 25 and another guy who's 70 and a woman who's 65 and this whole, of all nationalities except for Latino, and not many Latinos in Alaska. And they were all
smart.
White and black and Asian and all these different nationalities. And everyone went around the room and said, oh my God, I thought I was the one that was going to hang the jury, right? Thank God for stepping up. And then they said, by the way, you're the foreman. You tell the judge that we're finding this person innocent in 5 minutes. And that's how long it took. We have all of this evidence. And 5 minutes. We're like, can we still get lunch?
What is it? What's the evidence on that?
It was
like someone, I was thinking really hard. I could see his thought bubble touch her tit.
Yeah.
How do you?
It was so bad. I mean, I know. And their star witness, and I can talk about it now. Their star witness, I can't believe I'm making jokes on sexual assault, but it was not. The alleged attempted sexual assault, right?
Oh my God.
I had to go tell the judge in 5 minutes, not guilty. Yeah, he actually saw us in the parking lot and, he broke down. So 7 years this was hanging over this guy's head. Oh. 7 years he's walking around with an ankle monitor. Oh. And so I felt so bad for the guy, right? But then you're still like attempted sexual assault and, you're a human being. So you're like, but don't shake my hand.
Just yeah. Just in case. Like, he's trying to thank us afterwards, right? But anyways.
He's like, thanks, Hong Kong.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I didn't touch him. Gotcha.
But I attempted it.
I'm doing it from here.
Jesus.
You know, we're going to get a hate mail for this.
Yeah. Well, yes, I hope so. Sure. Kaylin's going to write in herself. That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Straight from comedians. Please never say these things to us after a show. My personal favorite is a woman coming up to me after a show saying, you know what? I hate female comedians, but I really liked you. Bitch, I will fight you right now. Do you understand me? I will scratch out your eyes. Do you realize what you just said? It's like me saying, I like spaces, but I hate your fucking face. What? That is the word. What has someone said to you when you've gotten off the stage? You're like, never say
on stage or off the stage? Because I've had both.
Oh, wow. Let's do both.
Both? On stage, when somebody yells out in the crowd, when does the comedy show start?
Oh.
Oh, I just want to punch him in the face.
I want to punch him in the face. Yeah. And I get this a lot. You don't look like a stand-up comedian. Well, you don't look like you can afford two drinks, but you're here. I'm like, that I hate. So turn your chair around. If you can't handle it, turn the fuck around. Yeah. Face the wall and listen to the words, dickhead.
I see you made parole. That's nice.
Yeah.
When I get off the stage, the one that bothers me the most, and I actually had somebody say this, I heard you'd be funnier. What the hell do you say to that?
I heard.
Sorry to disappoint, Dad.
Yeah.
Sorry. It just continues.
Oh my gosh. Maybe if you went to my graduation,
one football game wouldn't have killed you.
That's the sex offender guy, right? In case you were wondering.
Family court.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is Jeff Barbell.
Barbell.
Every other Tuesday, we have a new episode of Find the Funny. So, you know, I hate to ask for this, but subscribe, show some love. Also, leave a voice message, you guys, because me and other comedians want to help you. We're going to help you find the funny. So leave us a voicemail and I will see you on the next episode. Here's my mom.
I hope everybody listens to my daughter and see it and laughing with her because she is very funny.
Awesome.
That was great. That was perfect. That was perfect. That was-